Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, your notebooks, open it up as we get into the Word of the Lord today. We're still talking about authority and power. Specifically, the title again is The Authority of the Believer. We're going into part three today. If at all you missed any one of the other parts, you are more than welcome to go to the myfaith.tv Facebook page, go to the video section, and you can watch all of them once again right there. Otherwise, you can also go and download the Faith Now app, and you will never, ever be without faith-filled content. For those of you who have your Bibles with you, let's start off by going to the book of Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and from verse 22. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I want to start things off by making this statement. And you can put this in the comment section on Facebook. This is the revelation, is that authority is always and will always be greater than power. If you wanted to write it down as an equation, you could write the word authority and then the symbol greater than power. There are those who might claim to have and possess power, but do they have the authority? When you have authority, you also then have power as a natural result. God is supernatural. We read about this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. You do not even need to go and search far and wide for this revelation. It's there, the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God," not evolution, "God created," no, he did not evolve. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That very first verse in the Bible, it is what is referred to scientifically as a continuum. Because you cannot have time without space and matter. You cannot have matter without space and time. You need all of those three things, which is why scientifically, time, space, and matter, you can say, is the foundational building blocks of the universe. You cannot have the one without the other. And it takes a supernatural God. The word supernatural refers to the one who is above. When you say something is supernatural, you are actually saying that you are referring to someone who is above that which is natural. It takes a supernatural God to therefore introduce all that we observe and experience in the natural world. Now remember, I made the statement that authority is always greater than power. In the world, we are surrounded by all kinds of natural forces. There are natural forces that we have to contend with on a daily basis. Whether you think about it or whether you are oblivious to it, one of the most powerful forces in all of the universe is gravity. Nothing is able to escape the law of gravity. Gravity then is a powerful force, not only operational on the earth, but across the entire universe. But remember, although we are talking about a powerful force of nature, when you have authority, it is always greater than power. Matthew 14, 22 to 28. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there all alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Think about that for a moment. Jesus never said that we will live a trouble-free life. In fact, he said, in this world you will have trouble, comma, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The disciples were in trouble, far away from land. You can highlight those words. They were in trouble far away from land. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Now the Sea of Galilee, for those of you who have ever had the opportunity to go to the holy country of Israel, you would notice and you would have seen the Sea of Galilee is not just this little lake. It is quite vast. In fact, it is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. So if it says that they were far away from land, quite possibly they were right there in the middle. So maybe they were like at the minimum 3 miles away from land if it is that they needed to go to one of the sides. Or it could even be that they were perhaps 10 miles away if it is that they needed to go on across the length of the Sea of Galilee. Nonetheless, the Bible says that they were far away from the land. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." What comforting words. Even today, take comfort in the words of Jesus as he says, "Take courage, I am here." Regardless of what it is that you might be experiencing at the moment, the winds and the waves, take courage, for I am here. Hallelujah. Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you and to walk on the water." Verse 29, how I love this. "Yes, come," Jesus said. Behold, Jesus never discouraged him from operating in the supernatural. Jesus never discouraged him from taking the bold step of faith, leaving the safety of the boat and walking on water. Jesus never discourages us from operating in faith and operating and walking in the supernatural power of God. Anyone who tells you that faith is no longer required in the 21st century, or that there is no such thing as the supernatural power of God in the 21st century, is a liar. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on water toward Jesus. Now by walking on water, Jesus and then also later Peter defied the laws of gravity and buoyancy. But in highlighting gravity in particular, this is a powerful, powerful force. A powerful force. A force not only known upon the earth that affects the earth, but the entire universe operates by the power, the principle of gravity. And yet, they were walking in authority. And as a result of walking in authority, it is always greater than power. Although gravity is powerful because they operate in a place of authority, they are able to defy the law of gravity itself. They were not governed then, you can say, by nature's laws concerning space and matter. Peter stepped out of the natural and he stepped into the supernatural. The moment he left the safety of the boat, he made a transition from the natural to the supernatural. It was a conscious decision that he had made. He didn't just find himself operating in the supernatural. It's a decision you have to make. But there are many people, unfortunately, Christians who have received the power. They've received the authority. Jesus is standing on the water saying, "Come, operate in the supernatural." But they are not willing to step out of the boat. They're not willing to leave the comfort of the boat. They're not willing to leave the safety of the boat because they're also concerned about what other people will say. They looked upon Jesus and they thought to themselves, it's a ghost. This is not natural. This is weird. This is strange. Yes, you might be called out all kinds of names. You might be labeled. You might be branded by the world. But I will take it with grace if I am branded as one who operates in the supernatural power of God. If you are one of those who operate in the supernatural, lift up a shout of praise as you say, I am of those. In Jesus' name. Power, dominion, and authority has been given back to us as Christians through the finished work of the cross. But it takes fearless faith and eyes firmly fixed on Jesus to operate in the supernatural power of God. The moment Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. This is why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is but one of the examples of how ordinary men, a fisherman, was able to defy the laws of nature. There's three more that I want to deal with quickly. And this deals with the reality of time. How many of you have ever heard that time never waits for anyone? Time is the greatest enemy that mankind has to face. From the perspective that every second of every day, time does not stand still. You cannot ever go back in time. You cannot ever go forward in time. You cannot have time stand still. But look at the examples from the Word of God. Number one is God can fast forward time. John 6 from verse 18. This is written from the perspective of John. We just read from the book of Matthew, the same story. It says soon, verse 18, John 6, 18, soon a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles into the Sea of Galilee. Remember, the book of Matthew says that they were far away from land. Here we see that they had only rowed in 2 or 3 or 4 miles into the Sea of Galilee, when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager. They were willing to let him in the boat. And listen to this. And immediately they arrived at their destination. They were far away from land. John chapter 6 says they were about 3 or 4 miles in, when suddenly Jesus got into the boat, and then immediately they had reached their destination. They were not governed again by the natural laws concerning time. God is supernatural, therefore He is above the natural. He is above the laws of nature. He is above time itself. He was the one who introduced time to begin with. And because He is supernatural, He is not governed by that which He created. Sekorosaka. And as a result, He can cause time to accelerate if He pleases. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that this will be a season of supernatural acceleration. That which people told you will take a decade, you will do within a year. That which people said will take an entire lifetime, you will achieve in only a few years. In Jesus' name, receive it now in Jesus' name. Number two, God can reverse time. Remember the story of Hezekiah. He was about to die. He had just received this news from the prophet. The prophet had prophesied, had told him, you were about to die. And so he turned his face and he prayed to God. Verse 8 then says, 2 Kings 20, verse 8. 2 Kings 20, verse 8. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what He had promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or shall it go back 10 steps? That was the question. Can you see? God was saying, whether you decide for it to go forwards or whether you ask for time to go backwards, it makes no difference. You choose. You have your pick. So he says, verse 10, it is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps. He thinks to himself, because time obviously just ticks by, it is easy for time to progress forward. So he said, rather have it go back 10 steps. This is a complete violation of how time operates. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps, which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. Hezekiah thought that it would be more difficult for time to be reversed than for time to be sped up. And yet, I want to remind you again that God is not governed by time, whether past, present, or future. It makes no difference. God is supernatural, therefore he is above time. The principle from this is that God can reverse your situation. If God could turn back time, he can turn back anything. The devil doesn't have to have the last say. And this is why we are able to look at the devil and say, death, where is your sting? The devil shouldn't have the last say. You can put this in the comment section on the Facebook feed right now. The devil will not have the last say. So I declare over you now that you will get ready for a season of supernatural reversal. Even in the area of debt, I declare over you now supernatural debt cancellation, a reversal of your situation. You will come through this victorious on top. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow in Jesus' name. Receive it now. Number three is that God can make time stand still. Joshua and the Israelites required daylight in order to defeat the enemy, which is why we read in Joshua 10 from verse 7. It says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. So in other words, God is declaring, revealing that you will have the upper hand. God is revealing that we will never be able to rise up against an enemy and expect defeat, expect to be slaughtered. In this particular case and many others all throughout the book of Joshua, they always won their battles with a landslide. The only occurrence where we find where there were a loss of life and where there was a loss of a battle was because of sin and rebellion that came into the camp of the Israelites. So on the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, he said this, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. So the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Verse 14, there has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listen to this, to a human being. It wasn't the Lord who spoke. It was a human being who spoke from an understanding of faith. Think about the courage, the audacity, the tenacity to dare to speak to the sun and the moon and to say to it, stand still. Something as powerful as the law of gravity, something as powerful as the solar system with the patterns that the planets take all around the sun. And yet the earth stood still for about a full day. This has never been a day like this before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. If it wasn't for the fact that time stood still, they would have not been able to have that victory. They required sunlight to be able to overcome the enemy. And because he cried out in faith and spoke to the sun and spoke to the moon, it stopped. This reveals that if God is for you, who can ever be against you? In other words, we're dealing with breakthrough on an epic scale. I declare unto you in the name of Jesus, this will also be a season that will be marked by breakthrough and victory. That which others have said is impossible becomes possible as you step out in faith and operate in the authority that He releases over you now in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Sekorosata. We have been given authority even over the natural laws. We need to start understanding the fact that we are not ordinary. You are not average. You are not supposed to simply live a mediocre life. You say, well, I'm not called to the fivefold. It doesn't matter. The Lord Himself looks upon you and He calls you a royal priesthood. That means you operate in both the kingly and the priestly anointing. It makes no difference if you're a pastor or no pastor. You are a royal priesthood. And you're supposed to operate in the authority of the king and the priest, exercising that authority over all that might be powerful. Even the devil has power, but we have the authority over all the power of the devil. This is why we're able to look at sickness and disease. And even now, looking at that sickness, that disease, that financial situation, whatever it might be, where the devil is operating and he has come with his power against you, we take the authority that has been given to us and we say, be still in Jesus' name. We take that authority. We curse every spirit. We come against every stronghold and we tell it, be uprooted, leave, never return, ever again in Jesus' name. Sokorosata kesata rabokobosete. It is time for the church to walk in the revelation and the manifestation of the supernatural power of God. For we have become carriers of His authority, carriers of the supernatural. And because we carry that authority, the earth is subject to the authority that we carry and the power of God that is within us. So again, you are not ordinary. You're not average. You've not been called to live a mediocre life. For you died with Christ and you've been raised with Christ. And right now you are seated in Christ in heavenly places. You have taken that seat of authority. And it's because you are seated in that place of authority, you have the authority over all the power of the devil. The authority over all sickness and diseases and illnesses makes no difference. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. That is the mandate that has been given to the church. Let us grab a hold of that once again as we go into all the world, into every area of society, and share the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith.